bars or so of a woodwind piece that he wrote called Octander.
I'm here, sir.
I'm also.
That's funny how he said, we're going to ruin it for you.
Yeah. That was the composer of the ionization too, right?
Yes. Yes, he really had a big influence on Zappa. He was listening to him when he was very young, and he actually tried to speak to him, I think, when he was 15, on the phone. That was his birthday gift. And he was really into the most avant-garde music. And he would listen more that type of music than rock and roll or other things like that.
Mm-hmm. I think that shows, like, the fact that... Does he go into why that piece made such an impact on him?
Yes.
Does he go into, yes, like, does he ever...
I think he was also influenced by the fact that these composers were also mixing orchestras and an electronic environment.
Yeah.
But he had to become a composer of the electronic environment. He could not stay only in the orchestral. And he was not a rock and roll musician. He was really... beyond that definition, and many said the only way to classify Zappa is like he is Zappa. But he was influenced by Varese also in the fact that he was using electronics, and he went to study technology really in depth and to master the studio techniques as Frank Zappa did. You also, and before was even more, you had to study acoustics and mathematics and all these things to understand the machines or how to make a good mix and how to program a synthesizer. So he had a deep understanding of physics, acoustics, and electronics. Not only music.
Yeah, that gets back to how the environment is the key for him.
Yes, he was aware that of this median ecological side of the environment.
Yeah, I think even. The fact that piece was such a something he like spoke out about being such an influence, that when you listen to that piece or you watch it being performed, it doesn't really come from a listening of like enjoyment of like progressions or, you know, like a lot of melody or anything that's very sort of like for people to grab hold of. But the piece itself is reflective of an environment. It's almost like you have to, there's something that you're aware of other than what's being played.
Mm.
That helps you decode or sort of like get a sense of what's actually going on there. You know, it feels like it's it's beyond the sort of typical melody and that kind of construct, which is, I guess, for me as a musician, it's really noticeable those differences, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes, it's a very complex conversation between the musicians. All these rhythms, all these very difficult patterns, you know, to play that right takes a lot of work and understanding of your instrument and of the composition and all.
It's Are really you talking about ionization one. Or Zappa? Are you talking about Zappa or ionization?
Zappa playing Varese. Zappa playing
right.
Varese.
I guess my phone went dead.
Yeah.
I was wondering, I was telling you guys something, and I went on, and you weren't there. What was the last words you heard me say? I was telling about Zappa's introduction to this piece that we just heard.
It went dead during the recording.
During the recording?
I'm going to ruin it for you.
He produced the music, and they were about to start playing when they...
Yeah.
You guys... Oh, yeah. No, that's when I stopped it. You know,
then
when he finished talking.
Anything.
You never heard me come in and say what I had to say. Okay, so it stopped right at the end of him talking. And you didn't hear... Well, what I came in to say was, you can hear he's presenting as if he just heard of this guy and this story. And the audience is in 1968. They don't know Zappa that well. He's playing in Vancouver, you know. They're up in Canada. They don't know much about him. And they don't know that he's put Varese on every album with the quote, "The present-day composer refused to die." They don't know that Zappa, that's his expertise. And it's like talking about, for me, like Tom O'McLuhan or something. And he just says this casual thing. You know, there was this guy, and he was an old guy. He's really smart. He makes fun of Canadians. He says these very smart musicians who end up laughing.
In their tune, you know, these very complex compositions, he's calling them. The complex Varese compositions, he calls them, they're going to play.
These couple of
tunes.
And so you can see every five words he's targeting somebody or something. He's cynical at every few words or noun, like these very smart musicians from Canada. He's setting you up to say they were really dumb because they laughed at him. And they even have Varese gets up and acknowledges the wonderful orchestra that laughed at him. So it's incredibly improvisational conversation he's doing there, and it's a total theatrical presentation because it's probably what he used to say to his high school buddies in 1957. If I bring up McLuhan, I'm not going to go in and say he's the greatest mind ever. You start off real light about introducing this interesting guy you met once. You know what I mean? That's what he's saying to the audience, and it's like what he said to his high school buddies when he would introduce him to Varese. So there's a whole smiling behind it by Frank. If you are tuned into what he's doing, he's winking at you as he's doing this.
Totally.
And it really is a good example of him doing it. Yeah, he's just this old guy. He wrote a few tunes, and nobody liked his music. They never played his music, but they thought they do. They were not in the United States. I mean, he hurt the American ears. The American ears couldn't take it. They hated this guy. But a couple of smart guys up in Canada thought they'd play it. And then the story ends up with everybody laughing at Varese, but Zappa doesn't emphasize that. He just says it and then moves on about how he's going to play it. He doesn't emphasize the punchline with that these idiots were laughing at him. You know what I mean? He just says it as if it's a story he's passing on. He heard this. He's rather detached when he gets to that point.
I feel like laughter is a result of torque. There's like
laughter is a torsion field. Yes.
Yeah.
The magnetism, the polarity, and the fucking dualism collapse into vibrational frequencies that approximate looping torsion fields. That's laughter.
No. But there's a squeezing.
You made the loop.
Loop-de-loop that one.
That's good.
What are you trying to get across, Alyssa? What are you trying to tell us?
You're bringing up this sly sort of, you know, whatever, and then you're talking about the comedy of you and Carolyn.
And
everything, and it's all related to a sort of subtle squeezing that people aren't going to just let you say that and not react.
Yes.
You know, it's
and nobody's reacting here, though. I'm just rehearsing in front of you guys. I'm just rehearsing my Charlie Rose interview, where all this stuff will be said and will cause headlines and the market will crash, you know. So you're saying I'm going to get a reaction, but you're not reacting that much, right?
Oh, but it's just even listening to Zappa, like, you know, he's saying this stuff, and it's funny, but not very funny. It's very, like, straightforward. And yet, they're laughing, you know. It's like that there's an environmental understanding going on there, and there's a friction that causes people to feel like they need to laugh, you know.
Yes. And I forget, remember he said, and now we're going to destroy his song.
Yeah.
And that got them laughing. And it's perfect. He's walking a fine line between the fact that education works when it's entertaining and pleasing. So he's being a teacher in this rock and roll environment.
Another thing. Yeah, he was always educating not only his musicians, but the audience. And he takes this music is usually played in a very elitist environment, very arrogant, very intellectual.
Illuminati bitches in the audience.
Yeah, he presented this as fun. Like, look, this
to a bunch of kids. You.
We're going to destroy it. Then
we're actually on your side. Those John Cage think Edgar Varese is a big deal. I personally don't think he's a big deal. So we're going to fuck with his music. That's what he's conspiring with the kids to destroy adult culture.
That was the rock and roll of Zappa.
That was the rock and roll of Zappa? What's that mean?
Yeah, see, him creating that play around something, quote-unquote, serious and saying he's going to ruin it, that's kind of like the environment of rock and roll.
Yes, that is the environment of rock and roll. That's what rock and roll was doing.
He's expanding. He's doing what media does. He wants people to expand their patterns, to go beyond their limits.
Yeah, so Alyssa made a good point. He has infiltrated the destroying of Varese rock and roll environment to pretend he's with them, but to somehow undermine what these kids were being seduced by. You know, that's what Alyssa seemed to say. He's pointing out the effects of the rock and roll environment was destroying Varese and everything else. And then Frank was pretending he was with the kids on that, but he actually was forcing it on them. He was trying to... Remember, the title on his album was Kill Ugly Radio. That talk about going after an environment. He's demanding everybody to turn off the whole radio industry. It was in big letters. And when you hear about, or see the pictures of what he was like when he was young in Bobby's book, and then you project ahead in 1967, he's got this Charles Manson face on Absolutely Free. You know what I mean? He looks like the Antichrist. That's what Don McBurney said. Back then, he said, the guy looks like the Antichrist, you know. And he's this funny, whimsical, gentle person projecting himself as the Antichrist who wants to kill ugly radio.
Yes, this thing that happened to him, like being set up to make this porno soundtrack and then all his equipment taken away, I think...
All those great tapes...
That event also changed him forever.
Yeah. Like,
he knew he had to be intelligent. He had to revolt, but he could not revolt as just being a hippie, a lazy hippie, or taking drugs, or
right.
Like everybody.
No chemical body revolt. Not a chemical body revolt.
The change must be done in a more intelligent, subtle way. Just by expanding your ideas. That was already a big revolution.
Right. Like he was all happy. He's happy that Dylan was able to get access to the kids. Then he thought nobody got the message, so he said, okay, I'll get access to the kids. I'll infiltrate Rock and get my information out there. So we should save this for our proper Zappa thing. I mean, there's a lot of good Zappa stuff said here, but I can't post 18. Here's Zappa Hour Plus. We played 18 fucking hours. Okay, the people over at Alt Fan Frank Zappa are not going to put up with this.
Sorry. Yeah, we're just warming up.
Yes, we're just warming up. Or Ra says torsion wheels within wheels.
So this is the rehearsal. Then we play.
Who said that? Kelso? What did you just say?
This is the rehearsal.
Yeah, this is rehearsal. That's right. We're rehearsing for Frank, for our official Frank performance in a few hours. Okay, I'm going to play some more music, set the phone up, and set up for McLuhan, okay? So does anybody want to hear one of the Zappa things I didn't that you didn't hear earlier in the day? Did anybody hear, other than Roxy, you weren't, nobody here now was there in the first hour or two, right, Bert?
No, I wasn't.
No.
Okay. he says, he begins one of them. He says, okay, put your mouths around the horn. I think he tells the horn guys. Actually, let me play that and then stop it because we don't need to. Let's see if it's this one. What was that called? Yeah, see, I think we hear it here.
Saxophones in mouth. Ready? Begin.
So did you hear that? He said, saxophones in mouths, ready, begin, like it was a drill sergeant. Saxophones in mouths. Let me do that. Go back. I would have stopped it earlier, but my thing was spinning. Okay, I just want to emphasize that again.
Saxophones in mouth, ready, begin.
Isn't that great? He's directing them like a commander in an army. All right. Saxophones in mouth. Ready? Begin. And then they start playing the most basic boogie music. Pretty good, eh?
Yeah.
All right. Let's play. What?
Shoot your ammunition.
Sugar amnesia?
Shoot your ammunition.
Shoot your ammunition. Right.
Ammunition.
Very good. Yes. All right, here's a proper Zappa song.
Yes, and then we go like, ah!
Okay. Where is it? This one. Oh.
I'd like to thank the people at the BBC for giving us a chance to do some of the things on television here that they would never let us do in the United States.
This song goes out to Dencha and Nacho and Decha. Hi!
involved in sort of a low-key war against apathy. I don't know how you're doing on apathy over there, but we got a lot of it, boys and girls. A lot of what we do is designed to annoy people to the point where they might, just for a second, question enough of their environment to do something about it. You know? As long as they don't feel their environment and they don't worry about it, they're not going to do anything to change it. And something's got to be done before America scarfs up the world and shits on it.
There it is. Talk about the environment.
Right.
Pretty impressive.
That was his agenda, to change the environment.
Right. Had you heard that section before? I didn't play that when I played the song many hours ago. I dropped that.
No, but I've heard that interview before. That
oh, okay.
He's saying that.
Now, here's what he did. So he comes, he's on the BBC. He says very seriously, this is a song that they would never allow us to play in the United States. And it's this ridiculous, you know, satirical doo-wop thing sung by Roy Estrada, who was a very good doo-wop singer. He grew up with that. But here he's doing this silly tone, right? It's like,
yeah.
And so when Zappa says they never let us play it, he slams his arm down and hits the side of his body. And that's the signal for the military band to start playing. Like, this is real rigid, militaristic beginning point, slapping the side of his body. And then they start, and then Roy comes on, dedicated to a bunch of Mexicans, right? Nachos and Moncho. Did you get those names, Roxy? He dedicated the two Pachuco guys. And then they go to this ridiculous high-pitched thing. So that's pretty funny, eh? They won't let us play crap like this. We want to thank you, Mr. BBC, for letting us play shit on your network. Pretty neat. Okay, so I think we must stop this foolishness. We must get into the get out of our apathy.
Get your sacks in the mouth.
Yeah, get your sacks. Sure. Orifice, what would be organ of your choice in your mouth? Organ of your choice, right? You know what that means. And I will have to mute everybody for a few minutes till we get into the serious frequency. So let's bring up the rigmarole. And by the way, I got some great Zappa in the evergreens coming forward shortly.
Ooh.
Yeah, really good. So, oh, we better check with Big Mouth Susanna. I'm sorry, Susanna, you've been on mute. Is there something we missed from you over the last few minutes of topics?
Actually, just on the unmuted me, Bert. I mean, Bob. Bert.
No, and she was on mute. Or she fell asleep. She was on, she, you know, got knocked off and came back on. So, Susanna, you have anything you want to correct us? Oh, she's not there. Okay, now we have to get ready for Frank. Are you guys still energized, still awake?
Yes.
Yeah.
So let me just play a few songs while I ready myself for the long haul.
If you can bring something.
Say?
We can.
What were you saying, Roxy?
Go drink something.
Yes, I must.
I'm going to go drink something when you play.
Yes, we're all going to empty our bladders. Okay, here we go.
Thank you.